Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Microscope is on Keon. I get it. Like, he's drafted high second round, and so you're naturally going to put a lot of pressure on him. You know, I would say there's been some good things and there's things he can continue to do better. I think he has taken another step this year. That doesn't always show in targets or production, things like that. There's a lot of different things, whether what he's being asked to do. He's playing within the offense. I think he has shown maturity of how he can help our offense even away from the ball and in the run game and things like that. But I think he's catching the ball well. I think there's times he's been open, but the ball doesn't come to him, which is it's no shot on. Sometimes that's the progression of that route too. And he wants the ball. He wants his opportunity. He's working hard. He's not complaining. Receivers, tell me a receiver that doesn't want the ball, you know.
That is a Buffalo Bills general manager, Brandon Bean, from yesterday, talking about his second-year receiver, Keon Coleman, who, for being honest, since week one, has really not impressed at all in the receiving game. Been pretty good blocker. I think that much is for sure. That much is the case.
You take a tight end in the sixth round for your blocking.
Yeah,
You take a wide receiver in the second round, not for blocking.
I think we're getting to a point. I don't even think for fans. I got to imagine there's people internally there with the Bills that are about done. Week one, 11 targets, 8 receptions, 112 yards, and he does get that deflection touchdown that really allows for the comeback to happen. Much of that is done in the fourth quarter. After that, 3 for 26, 3 for 20, 3 for 45, 4 for 23, 3 for 11, 3 for 30, 2 for 17. He does have another touchdown in there against New England. He does have a score, but it's just... His yards per reception are under 10 yards. The success rate, I believe, is around 60%, 65%, excuse me. They're just not getting enough at all out of a receiver that they did pick in the second round. And it's not to say that Worthy would be world's better, Xavier Leggett, anything like that. Ladd McConkey is kind of the name I've gone to now. Right. I was not a McConkey guy that draft.
But McConkey was also a slot receiver. They knew that they weren't taking him. Worthy...
Worthy, dude, they've wanted to make an outside.
Worthy is a straight line merchant. I said what I said.
That seems to kind of be the case. I still think he's dangerous because of the speed element. Like he forces teams to really pay attention to him. You saw it on the Mahomes pick. You saw it even when Hairston was on him. Like, I mean, Hairston's got to be on him, because even a straight line, when he's that fast, it's a problem. Coleman's size. can also be a problem. I think what's funny is between Worthy and Coleman, it right now is a mid-off.
Yeah.
Neither of them are really all that special. They have an elite trait that could make them special. Coleman is 6'4", 211. Worthy is super fast. But right now, just looking at Coleman, I understand why the reports were that they were looking for a receiver. Jeremy getting to the point where maybe they were targeting Brian Thomas Jr. or even, you know, from Bean mentioning the Jets and the Dolphins, two teams that have Garrett Wilson and Jalen Waddle could be those moves. It's because the guy that drafted in the second round in his second year is not doing anything really.
And I think there's a little bit of a misusage going on with him as well, because Joe Kelly and I talked about this off air a couple times, where Joe brings it up that the gauntlet drill. Why are you not putting him over the middle of the field? Where was he making his big play elements happen last year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the middle of the field, quick outs to him and let him get running.
He was surprisingly adept at breaking tackles and shaking people. That's what you should be doing with him. Give him that opportunity. Give him a chance to exploit the middle of the field, because he's got the size advantage there too. Like, it exists on the boundary. It exists in the middle of the field, probably even more so. It just – there's a misusage, I think, going on with Coleman that is undermining his effectiveness. And yet there's a number that's still fascinating to me. You know how, like, yesterday, I believe it was – yeah, it was yesterday when Jeremy brings up Khalil Shakir, the yards after catch with his total yards?
Yeah.
It is the polar opposite with Coleman. 50 yards – or after catch.
Oh, wow.
The number that I'm fascinated with, though, is 19. 19 out of 29. That's how many of his receptions have gone for first downs.
Yeah, so when he catches the ball, it usually winds up being a first down.
It's important places where he's catching the football. So I am interested in that, because even with his struggles this year, he's tied for the team lead in moving the chains.
I think he's also tied or even just ahead of how many snaps he gets on the offense for the receivers.
Yes.
He's been leading that the last few weeks. Look, there are positives to Coleman, and I was somebody that was very excited going into his second year, because I thought there was a few games last year that pointed to, hey, there's something here, but he's not getting open at all at a consistent rate, if not even at all. The first down stuff is great. I love that. But it's like one or two catches a game. He's not demanding a volume. And so when you do – look, this is something I will take into the offseason too. Hearing the general manager talk about how they were looking at some big deals and to kind of point it to wide receiver. Hearing the head coach for a few weeks talk about how he's not really that thrilled with the passing game. I think a lot of it points to Coleman has not developed into the guy we needed him to be. And so now we are looking at different avenues. If they don't make a big trade in the offseason for a receiver, I think early – they're going to go for wide receiver, because we're also seeing, too, some of these young guys that maybe they'd have to fill in other positions, they don't. Cornerback, they might be good. They might be done there in terms of the early rounds. Defensive tackle, they might be done there for a little while. And edge rusher, depending if they bring back Bosa and Epinesa, they might be done there as well. So that's the defense. What do you need on offense? Depends on where you sign your offensive lineman. Center and guard is going to be potentially two with McGovern and Edwards. Then very quickly it's, okay, it's wide receiver. You're up. And this class went from being not the best, and you're looking more towards 27, to halfway through the year, it's kind of the opposite of the quarterback class.
I was just going to bring
it up. It's now actually one where it's a little exciting. There's a few guys from USC. One I love who is not going to be available at all. Jordan Tyson out of Arizona State. He looks incredible. Tate out of Ohio State looks phenomenal, and he might be somebody that is available in the late teens to 20s. We'll see about that. I mean, we're well away from the draft. But I think that, look, that's why all of us bring it up all the time. They're not getting great production out of their wide receivers. This offense is run through their tight ends and their running backs. And their quarterback is an MVP caliber player. And it works. It's not that it's bad. It works. The problem is it could be better. It could be more efficient. They could be harder to defend, so that maybe someone like a James Cook even gets more running lanes because, well, you got another guy on the outside that's a huge problem. That's where it comes in, is it becomes even easier for them to do stuff. It already looks at times very easy where they are just able to go up and down the field when they are clicking. it can be even more so. It can get to a point where there's just so few teams that have the personnel to defend them. Dan Orlovsky, I heard speaking yesterday on this, looks at the Colts now. Because of the addition of Sauce Gardner, they are built in the secondary on defense to stop teams like the Chiefs and like the Bills. You counteract that by having better receivers. Now, all of a sudden, Gardner can only stick on one guy. Bills right now, I mean, we're if those two were to meet in the playoffs, division around, AFC Championship, what have you, who's Gardner going to go sit on? It kind of doesn't matter.
Hang on. And yet it does. This is where the Bills can get a little tricky this year. Who's the biggest threat in the Bills receiving game?
Kincaid.
Are you putting a corner on Dalton Kincaid? Are you putting Sauce Gardner on Dalton Kincaid?
Probably not.
There you go. There's your counterpunch.
Right. I mean, that is your counterpunch. The problem is we've talked about also Kincaid how the Chiefs, not on the field in an incredible amount.
An incredible amount, but he's been efficient when he's been on the field. So, yeah, maybe you could roll some coverage over there because now you've got Sauce able to play on an island with whoever they put out there at the X. And yet it seems like Kincaid has shown that that doesn't matter. The counterpunch is there, and I don't want to call Kincaid Travis Kelce. I'm not going to do that. What I am going to do, though, is give a similarity to how the Chiefs succeed in the postseason. Because NFL defenses seem to routinely forget that Travis Kelce exists.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a bit of a problem.
And it more has to do with, well, you also still have to be able to cover the middle of the field, and your slot corners are not typically as effective as your boundary anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Your linebackers are not going to be as good in coverage as your top corners anyway. That's just football. Can the Bills get away with having Kincaid incredibly efficient and fresh with his snaps? Well, it looks like it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, really. So he
plays 35% of the snaps, and he has 6 receptions for 101 yards.
Yeah, he starts the year off. I mean, it's a good run with Baltimore, 4-for-4 for 48 and 1 touchdown. Has a few okay games here. Miami's 5 catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown. I think up to that point, we all thought that was maybe his best game. Then he's kind of non-existent, really, against New Orleans. Doesn't really need to be. And then all of a sudden, 6-for-6 against New England for 108.
In a game where he gets injured, by the way.
Yeah. Nothing against Carolina, really. 3-for-1 for 23. And then he has, I think, his best game up to this point. 6-for-101 and 1 touchdown in the win against Kansas City. He was dominant there. I'm still leaning more towards wanting him to have having more of the snap count. It has gone down, actually, as the year has gone on. Since week 3, the only time he went over 50% was against New England. He was at 54, where his best games have actually been closer to 40-ish. Percent of this offensive snaps. I'd like to see more. I'm not saying I need him on the field 75% of the time.
That might also be they're taking their time bringing him all the way back from the oblique injury.
Could absolutely be that.
Because that's a core injury. That's a core muscle. Carolina, that stat line, they obviously don't need him.
No.
But I look at the other two games that surround it. New England, where he gets hurt. And Kansas City. And then I look at Miami. A game where you did really need everything that you got out of that. Each of those three games, it's 6 targets. It seems like he is consistently part of the offense when they need him. That New Orleans game, they don't really throw into him that much, but he's the one that puts it away.
Mm-hmm.
They throw it in his direction only 2 times.
Yeah, the one catch he has is a 28-yard touchdown. They really dive. I think for me now, I personally have moved on from Coleman.
Kincaid that
I know
is
we're
the
halfway
guy.
Through year two, but he's not showing anything. It really doesn't look like he's developed much from his rookie year, where Kincaid, it looks different. And now him and Allen do seem to have a connection, where last year that was the worry. It was not that Kincaid wasn't getting open. There were multiple times he's open, Allen's got to hit him.
And it's the quarterback not hitting the player.
Now we're seeing it with Kincaid. Okay, now he's hitting him. The health thing is always still a little bit of a worry. That was my issue last year, too, is it's just I don't like the chemistry and he's not staying healthy. That's not a good sign for me at all. It's kind of where I'm not the biggest fan of Gabe Davis really being back. We'll see how that goes, and you'll probably get elevated at some point here. But the chemistry in the last year with Allen and Davis was not good, and it did not make me long for the AFC divisional game 13. It didn't. I was ready to move on. Kincaid, though, at this point, I think has developed into effectively their number one, and he's doing it well. Again, I'd like to see the offensive snap percentage go up. We'll see if it does as he gets healthier as the year goes on. But they can survive with this. They can win with this. They are. They're 6-2. Very good chance they'll be 7-2 after this. You got a game against Tampa. That one's going to be tough. That's where this Bills team, I guess, for many is so frustrating, is it does feel like, man, you had one more piece here. One other guy just doesn't get hurt. And you might be ready-made, let's go, get after it. And that's where I do look at the draft and go, they're not going to have a ton of needs. It's going to be like linebacker, maybe an offensive lineman and wide receiver. You know, depending on safety with Hancock and the Bishop role, that they might kind of push that to the side.
I would still say they probably would want to add to the reinforcements on that one. Because
right, but
over the last few years, they haven't even been able to bring in a player to overcome DeMar Hamlin.
That's been the problem the last 2 years.
So, yeah, you probably want on the depth chart to do better than DeMar Hamlin anyway, add a reinforcement there. But that would be later.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a primary focus for you at that point. And if you can find your way, though, the biggest thing we have worry-wise with the Bills is it sustainable through January? Is it sustainable through the playoffs, right? And yet everything that the Bills do does seem like it should fit in December with being able to run the football and do it so effectively. And yet it just doesn't end up happening, in particular against one team. That one team did not defend the run particularly well in this game. And they're kind of middle of the pack at doing it. It's just more proof that, yeah, you could do it. This team has been good. They've always been good. They're 6-2, which is one of the top records in the AFC for a reason.
Yeah, they're still battling for the one seed. Thank you, Colts, for losing.
Yeah, thank you, mid-Steelers.
That's ultimately the problem, and we talk about it all, but then the season is long. We get one game a week, so we all kind of have to linger. We all have to take a bath in it.
Right.
They are still a very good team. Looking around the rest of the NFL, it's now kind of commonplace to say there's not really a great team, especially in the AFC, but maybe the entire league. What makes me excited, and maybe bringing Wynn back into my sails a little bit here after the Hoyt injury and not doing anything at the deadline, is the young players are starting to really put their stamp on the season with Harrison and Deion Walker. Cole Bishop is still a young player. It's his second year. We'll see about Landon Jackson. Sal mentioned it with us too, like within the injuries. You're going to see him soon. TJ Sanders, we'll see if he comes back. And I'll throw Kincaid in there with the young players. It's his third year, and he has taken a jump. I mean, something I didn't even mention either. His yards per target has skyrocketed. It was at 6.0 last year. It's now at 12.5. His yards per reception is up a full 5 yards. That's why last year, Derek, he had 44 catches for 448 yards. This year, he has 27 catches for 411 yards. He also has 4 touchdowns, equaling his career total through 2 seasons. Like they're seeing these young guys start to come, and now you just hope Ed Oliver is able to come back from his injury in the playoffs and what have you, and that they are able to kind of just coalesce a little bit here and not pick up more injuries. We'll see about today when when the official injury report does come out later. They're still a very good team. And I think they can kind of play with everyone in the NFL over the last 2 weeks that I've seen. I will tell you, before the bye, I did not think that. The last 2 weeks, I do believe that.
The good news, though, is like while we haven't seen much from Coleman this year, there is something that Coleman did last year that Kincaid has taken the mantle of. The big play guy. Kincaid has taken over as the big play guy. In all but one game this year that he's played in, there's a reception for over 20 yards. He is literally the big play element consistently every week.
Yeah, I mean.
And then against the Falcons, where you're having trouble moving the football, boy, it would really help to have a guy that flips the field.
Yeah, you bring that up. You're right. I mean, yards per reception for Coleman last year was 19.2. This year it's 9.8.
So it is about who's your big play guy this year? And the answer is different from last year. Disappointingly so on one end of that, encouragingly for another.
803-0550, the number to call. We do have a Sabres game tonight. They are taking on St. Louis. We do have a few roster announcements for tonight, or at least roster projections for tonight. Namely, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen looks to be the starter in net tonight. We'll talk with Paul Hamilton coming up next. Get more on tonight's game as the Sabres hopefully don't go to overtime again. Or if they do, win one. That'd be really
Please,
cool.
Please, no.
Yeah, win one if you go to overtime. That would be really cool. Again, the number to call, 803-0550. Paul Hamilton on the way next. This is WGR. Hour number two rolls along here on a Thursday. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. Before we get to Paul Hamilton, ready to take your game day to the next level, enter online now at WGR550.com for a chance to win a $300 tailgate tray certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Each Friday, a winner is going to be announced during Football Friday with Shobin the Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. Sabres in action tonight, 7 p.m. puck drop, 6 p.m. pregame right here on WGR. They're taking on St. Louis. Not a good team.
No.
St. Louis has not had a good start to the year at all. I think also, did they play last night? They did. They lost 6-1 to the Capitals, so they're on a back-to-back as well. I'm not saying must win. I'm not going to say that. It's still early in the season. However, they are 4-8-2 on a back-to-back. Be nice to be 6-4-4 after tonight.
Yeah.
I think especially with how clustered the East is, and we've mentioned this, like I don't want to sound hypocritical. They are picking up loser points. They're continuing to stack points. That is a positive. But you have to start picking up wins. You have to go on runs here. And teams are injured. Teams are injured all the time in the NHL and still are able to survive and pick up wins and what have you. The big guys got to come to play. Talk.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Thompson, Dahlin.
Yes.
There does have to come a point here where it starts to get going. We've mentioned Dahlin too, the personal stuff with him. And yes, that is a big part of it. Thompson and Tuck, though.
There's actually reasons for you to be performing better than you are. Tuck is looking for a new contract. Thompson probably wants in on the Olympics after being a miss and a snub for the Four Nations face-off. There's actually pretty high motivation for you to be playing better, and you're not. And it's kind of getting a little frustrating. The other thing is that the injuries have taken a toll on the depth of this team finally, to a point where it is hard to see where the scoring's coming from if the big guys don't get moving.
Josh
Doan has kind of sat still now. He's at 9 points, but like it's a little bit slower going. Jack Quinn, same player. A guy who I've had fun watching as of late, but over the last few games, he only has one assist in here. So like we need something a little bit more there on Jack Quinn.
Rather than just flashy plays that look cool.
It's good to see him confident in his skates again, though. That is something that's genuinely good. He makes a terrible read defensively in overtime, and he should wear that. But your depth players like Yuri Kulik or Jason Zucker, those are players that have been able to chip in for you. Nope, they are both sick. Zach Benson in a walking boot. He's fourth on this team in scoring.
Yep.
And it's to a point where, like, all right, it's getting a little annoying seeing how frequently the injuries are coming up here, because then you look over at the Bills and there's a laundry list there too. What? Who moved the vase that you're not supposed to break and then broke it? Who did it? Who broke the cursed item?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's definitely not working. You know who didn't do it, though? Paul Hamilton. He's on the Western Hotline.
Morning, Paul.
Morning. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. So the Sabres in action tonight. They're taking on a team that was in action last night, losing 6-1 to Washington, St. Louis. Looks like Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen's in net. So how are we feeling tonight?
Yeah, they've been pretty much going back and forth now for a bit. You can even trace it back to when Ellis got his game. You know, it's been pretty much a, you know, nobody getting the net. You know, on the 22nd, it was Ellis. On the 24th, it was Lyon. And then Luke next night played in Toronto. And then Lyon took the next two. And then Luukkonen had that great game against Washington. Then Lyon played. And now Luukkonen plays. So it's pretty much, you know, you go back to October 22nd, only one goaltender has played two in a row. And I wouldn't be surprised, especially if Luukkonen now puts in a good game, if you start seeing the two of them alternating.
Paul, I was just going to ask about that. Like, is there a plan at this point for this team with Colton Ellis? Because, you know, the fun idea here is, oh, man, the Ellis revenge game is not going to happen. That's unfortunate. But now it is looking like it is back to its two-goalie rotation. It's back to where we were all looking at it to be before the season. Is there a plan for this team with Colton Ellis, and what would you do?
Well, I probably would have played him tonight.
You also like fun.
I mean, Luukkonen came into the year as your number one goalie. So if he starts playing well like he did the other night and stood on his head to win in a shootout, then, you know, I think they're looking at maybe he's the number one goalie again, or at least close to it, 1A and 1B. And so I don't think they had planned on alternating before Luukkonen got hurt. I think their plan was Lukanen's the number one guy and Lyon is the number two guy. Then it's like, well, how long is Luukkonen going to be out? This is his second injury now. What do we do when we like Ellis? So let's go get Ellis. And I don't think they like him any less. And you look at the goaltending of the St. Louis Blues right now. One is a 5.02 goals against and the other is a 3.34. You know, so, you know, I don't think there's any question they reclaim him if he goes on waivers. So it just depends how much the Sabres want to keep him, you know, and what are their plans for Levi? And if they want to keep him, then their plans for Levi is probably to get rid of him, you know, at some point. So, and you would think the way injuries have been going for this team that they're going to be injuries. And Kevin Adams revealed on NHL Network yesterday something I've been suspicious of the whole time. I don't think Ellis is totally healthy yet, and he said he's been dealing with back spasms. So he's been practicing, and if you had to play him in a game, you could, but there's no need to. You don't have to, you know, so why not wait until he's totally over the back spasms? So I've been thinking that all along, especially when you wanted to give Lyon a night off and you had him back up, Luukkonen. Because now you're risking him getting into the game. If Luukkonen gets hurt or if it goes wrong, now Lyon's in the game, in a game that you wanted him to rest in. So that's what really made me suspicious on Ellis, that he's not all the way back yet. Because if you want Lyon to get a night off, you give him the night off and let Ellis back up.
That does put an interesting little wrinkle into it, Paul, that back injury or the back spasms that he picked up that weekend with Toronto. Paul, you heard the audible reaction when you read off the goals against averages of Jordan Binnington and Joel Hofer. Binnington played last night. I'm imagining they're going to get Hofer, who's rocking an .836 save percentage and a .502 goals against. If they can't score tonight, I know it's the depth being questioned, but the top guys – this is an opportunity for a get-right game.
Yeah, well, this is the second-worst team in the National Hockey League right now. So, and they just got waxed in Washington, which probably isn't a good thing. I mean, yeah, it's a good thing you're getting them back-to-back, but these are professional athletes that should have some pride, and they did not play well at all last night. Now, it's not an easy trek to the airport in Washington, so I would say the earliest anybody got to the hotel would have been 2 a.m. Now, they're not here right now with the morning skate, but probably a little bit later. So, you know, they had the – and that's how they got the Capitals, too. Remember, the Capitals played at home on a back-to-back, and they had the same thing. And, again, I don't think the Caps were probably in their rooms before 2 a.m. And now the Caps hung in there, you know, with the Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
And Lukanen had to play a great game just to get the 2 points, you know, out of that one, and it came in a shootout. So you can't count on that definitely back-to-back is going to be a minus. It can be, especially if you jump on the team early. But St. Louis Blues are in the National Hockey League. I would think they have some pride, too. So I think you might get a better game out of them than Washington did.
Paul, we're through 13 games of the season. We've talked about this a lot, that they do look different from years past. And something me and you have talked about off and on air is the loser points. The Sabres have not had any issue picking those up this year. They have more overtime losses than anyone else in the East with 4. They have dragged a lot of these games to overtime. That seems to be their nightly occurrence now. What are you seeing, though, in these overtime losses, these 3-3? Because it just it's a thing with the power play as well. When they seem to have a man advantage, they have a difficult time. What about these 3-on-3 OT losses?
And that's what's gotten them into the race here. I mean, they're only 3 points out of third place in the division. They're 1 point out of the number 8 spot and 2 points out of the number 7 spot. You know, so, but they're also tied with the Islanders, the Blue Jackets, the Lightning, the Senators. Philadelphia has 15 points. Washington in the 8th spot has 15 points. Boston has 16 points. The Sabres do have 2 games in hand on the Bruins and 2 points behind. So, you know, so they actually do have a better points percentage than the Bruins do at 533 to 538. So it's just so close the way it's going. The Rangers, by the way, also have 14 points. So there's only one team underneath the Buffalo Sabres. And it's a 2-time defending Stanley Cup champion, Florida Panthers.
As everyone predicted.
The only ones that don't want to hang out with everybody.
Who
with
also
15 points.
Are in last place in the conference at -7 in goal differential.
Which as everyone predicted.
And I know they're injured. Mm-hmm. I get it. I mean, two very, very good players are out of their lineup. And Florida's problem is the same thing Buffalo's problem is. They can't play on the road. They're 5-1-1 at home and 1-5 on the road. Buffalo is 0-2-2 on the road, and it's not going to get any easier in Carolina. They never win in Carolina, so let's just put it, I'd be shocked if they broke that streak in Carolina. But look at what they've done at home recently after losing the first two. They're 5-0-2 in their last 7 home games. So they picked up points in all 7 games. That means out of 14 points, they've picked up 12 in their last 7 home games. And overall, in the last 10, they've only lost in regulation once. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, this is what we've been clamoring for how long, that they've got to start getting games to overtime. And they didn't do it in the first 3. And I remember bringing it up then that as poorly as they played in the first 3 games, all 3 games were basically 1-goal games coming down the stretch. Especially, you know, now Montreal game, there was an even game. They played that better. But, you know, they didn't get any points out of that one either. But the Boston game is the one that sticks in my mind because they got killed in that game. They were by far the worst team. But yet, with the goaltender pulled, you're only behind 2-1. Puck goes in off a skate or something, you're going to get a point out of the game. You're heading to overtime with a chance for 2. And you played that badly. Don't forget, Boston didn't score the empty net goal. There was 3 seconds left in the game. So, you know, to me, there were three opportunities there to get points, and they didn't get points in any of them. And then finally, they're doing it, mm-hmm. and now five games in a row. They've taken to overtime and gotten points in 9 out of 10 games. So they continue to do that, get points in 9 out of 10 games. I don't think it's any question they'll be in the playoffs.
Yeah, Paul, when it comes to I feel like the Utah game was different than the others with the depleted roster, the way that they were outshot in the game. It did seem like one of those of like, okay, that's the kind of game where you stole a point. Can you try to get one more? 47 seconds later, it goes the other way. But, Paul, what I'm kind of getting fascinated about right now is Jack Quinn seems to trust his feet a lot more. It seems like he's comfortable after several years of injury. But Noah Usland, Isaac Rezaian, Jack Quinn on that line probably looked like the most entertaining of the group the other night against Utah. And it is looking like, okay, good. It took a little while for Rezaian and Usland, but they have their first career goals.
Yeah, three Amerks have their first career goals in the last week.
Right, because
the last time that happened, guys named Shmelik and Hemelev were doing it. It's been a while.
Yeah,
but you got to be. I know you can't use injuries as an excuse, but you also have to be realistic here. And you said it. Ottawa was the better team that game by far, but the Sabres are without Benson, Zucker, Kulik, Norris, Danforth, Ellis. That's a lot, and Kozak. That's a lot of guys to be down, and a lot of key guys to be down. Benson and Norris were supposed to be on your top line. Kulik and Zucker are guys that can get onto your top line if the other two are hurt and are big contributors to your power play and other places. That's a lot of people out of your lineup. So that's a point where you say to yourself, or at least I say, good job. You played one of the best teams in the National Hockey League, who is just coming off a 7-game winning streak, and I think they maybe had lost two after that, but still have shown to be a very, very good team this year. And you figured out a way to get a point. That's what we talk about when we're talking about figuring out a way to get a point when you don't have your A game. Granato talked about it. Ruff has talked about it. We have talked about it. That's what good teams do. You know, all right, we don't have our A game tonight. You're not going to have your A game all 82 games. But figure out a way to get a point when you don't have it. And that's what they weren't doing in the first three. They certainly did not have their A game in Boston, but the Bruins were begging for the Sabres to grab a point in that game, even though they were dominating it.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So now the Ottawa game, I think, or the the Utah game is a perfect example of they didn't have their A game. They basically had to ice a team that was half of the Rochester Americans, and they were able to find a way to get a point.
Paul, last one here. Jordan Greenway, he's been back for a couple games from not being able to play to start the season with injury. I do think it is a little dubious that he's been getting the top line minutes because of the fact that he didn't get a chance to play a preseason, and sometimes it looks like it's showing a little bit. Is there a little bit of an over-reliance on a veteran there to see if they could stabilize something while not touching that Tuck, Doan, and McLeod line?
He's been more physical than maybe I've seen in the past. I think you're not giving enough credit because you're not giving him enough credit for the little things he does.
Yeah.
I have never seen a guy that can force turnovers like he does with the Sabres in a long, long time. It's almost like he knows what they're going to do before they do. I've talked to Tage Thompson twice now about this year, and it was either last year or the year before. He loves playing with Greenway. He asks to play with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how he gets in on the forecheck to create, which helps create offense, because of the chaos he creates in front of the net, because of the turnovers that he can make the other team, and then the Sabres can turn and turn that into offense immediately into transition. He's been very good on the penalty kill so far. He's taken a couple of goofy penalties, which he's not the only one, and that's certainly something the Sabres have not gotten out of their system yet. If I was going to say the bad part of his game so far is the goofy penalties. Is he going to be a 20-goal scorer? No. I'd be shocked if he ever got 20 in the NHL. But there are some other things that he does that really help the Sabres and should help the other guys. And Tage Thompson, I thought Tage Thompson was getting going when he scored 3 goals against the Leafs in 2 games.
Yep.
No, not happening. I mean, he only has 5. So he only has 2 goals other than those 2 games against the Leafs. So, you know, that's somebody they have to get going, and that's somebody that, you know, he has to figure out. He lost both his line mates in Norris and Benson, but he's played with Tuck before, and it seems like he's going to get Tuck again. If we go by the lines from yesterday's practice, McLeod is going to center Tuck and Thompson. Now, neither Tuck nor Thompson have played a lot of left wing. So we'll see how that goes.
It'd be interesting.
But Tuck and Thompson, as you know, have a good chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
McLeod, I think, played a little bit with those guys, at least one of them last year, when he was bouncing around the lineup because of injuries. So as Ruff said today when we were chatting with him, that he goes, I'm not going to sit there and watch things go wrong and not do anything about it. I know people hate that he changes the line so quick. He goes, I had the lines changed in a half a period the other night. He goes, and I don't care what people think. He goes, it's not working. Why wouldn't I change it? He goes, I'm not going to sit there and keep watching it not work. So just because it might start that way with McLeod, Tuck, and Thompson, he may not like it. He may not like what he sees. Now, you know, Coach Thompson, still, I mean, don't forget, he came from the St. Louis Blues. I think he liked St. Louis. I think he liked being there. I don't think he particularly appreciated being traded, to be quite honest with you.
Fair. Fair.
You know, so in 8 games against the St. Louis Blues, he has 3 goals, 4 assists, and 7 points. So, you know, he is, you know, showing the St. Louis Blues that, hey, maybe you should have held on. And the trade is a trade that both – Lindy talked about this yesterday. There's nothing wrong with a trade that both teams like. Of course, the Blues loved it when Ryan O'Reilly gave them two excellent years, got the Conn Smythe Trophy, and helped them win a Stanley Cup. Now, they only got 2 years out of him because after that, he was back playing like he did with the Buffalo Sabres, underachieving. He was good with the Buffalo Sabres, but he showed us those 2 years in St. Louis what he could have been. And I always felt that way when he was here, and I always said that when he was here. There's more here. I know 55, 60 points is nothing to sneeze at, but he's better than that. And he showed us that he is for 2 years. And then that was it. And then he fell out of favor, and then the young players were told to stay away from him on the road. And next thing you know, he wore out his welcome like he did in Colorado, like he did in Buffalo, and then he did in St. Louis. And now the trade basically is more towards the Sabres, you know, because yeah. Tage Thompson, I think, still has a lot of years ahead of him. So winning the Stanley Cup right there gives the Blues, even if that's the only good year he gave them, it's worthwhile. If the Sabres traded for a player that helped them for 1 year and they won the Stanley Cup with him, I think we'd all sit there and say that's a good trade, even if the guy stunk from there on out. He gave you that 1 year and he won you a cup. And that's what he did with the Blues. He gave him 2 years and won him a cup. But now in the overall picture.
Paul, I don't mean to cut you off, but we got to go, man.
We knew we had Sabres Life coming up at the top of the hour.
We're going
to
talk until one.
Paul, thanks so much for jumping on with us. We will hear from you, though, in the pregame at 6 with Chopin the Bulldog.
See ya.
See ya, Paul.
Paul Hamilton there on the Western Hotline.
We
got to
go.
We do have to go. Sabres Life coming up at the top of the hour. This is WGR.
I said we got to go. We got to go. That's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek and Zach, see ya.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.